Hey, it's Tony Bruschi. If you enjoy this podcast, Real Ghost Stories Online, be sure to check out our other paranormal podcast, The Grave Talks, with new episodes every Monday and Tuesday. Just search The Grave Talks wherever you download podcasts. Now, here's a 15-minute preview of one of this week's episodes of The Grave Talks. Today on The Grave Talks, who are we when we die? A conversation with Gare Allen. When we pass on, how much influence do we have on our current physical world? Are we able to help solve crimes? Can we right wrongs of the past? Can we influence those who need to move in a positive direction or drive those who we hate into madness? Or can we simply choose to come back as a new evolved human with past lessons under our belt, ready to live a life of heightened awareness? So many questions, so few answers. Today, we discuss all of that and more with Gare Allen on The Grave Talks.
On the street I grew up in as a young child, there was a family, and the first case in the first Ghost Crimes book is based on that family story. And the police were involved, and nobody would talk about what had happened. And it was only later that I understood that it was sort of being covered up in a way, because there was possession involved, there was murder involved, and there were small children, and it was a very sensitive and supernatural situation. And I think, and of course, you know, I'm 53 now, so that was back in the, you know, early 1980s. And, you know, back then, you know, the paranormal and supernatural, especially if you're an investigator or police officer, first responder, you don't want to be the spooky molder, right? Mm-hmm. You're not going to say a ghost did it. It isn't, those things sure. Wasn't acceptable. It wasn't even thing you would even consider. And there had to be an explanation, but, you know, it became unexplained or, you know, unsolved mystery sort of thing. And no one thought to look to the supernatural or didn't feel comfortable. And of course, the public wouldn't accept that, hey, it's okay that this happened, but a ghost did it. So we can't hold anybody accountable, right? The public wants accountability.
Sure.
So you can't just blame it on a ghost. And that's where I got the ear from Ghost Crimes. And there's a line in the first book where Detective Burke is trying to explain that these things are happening and there's a supernatural force. Even though he doesn't want to believe it, mm-hmm. there's the cases are building, and he's explaining to his partner that there's something other happening here outside of his control. And there's a line where he says, people kill people. These aren't ghost crimes.
Mm-hmm.
So I think, and then later in life, you know, now that, you know, 2022,
yeah.
You know, going into 2023, good Lord, you know, anything's possible now. And so when I did research, I realized that police cases are, there's no real format for every state. They differ, but when they write them, the numbers correlate to the state, the city, the county, the type of crime, and there's actually a code for paranormal or supernatural.
Really?
To be out under that. Yeah, I was very surprised to see that. I think in Florida it was 10.
Interesting. So there's actually a code. Wow. I had no idea that got that official. I would think, you know, it's like just laying out the facts. So, I mean, when you started doing research into this topic and the two intersecting, I mean, tell me about some of the cases that you researched and how they did intersect, how it actually worked out in real world terms.
So, well, a lot of the cases that were conveyed to me were, hey, this happened to me.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm only telling you because I made a request out there. So I started to write the book, and it was based on actual cases, starting with the one I mentioned from when I was growing up.
Yeah.
Well, I was lucky enough to, I did a post, and I got in touch with a detective who the story is loosely based on,
mm-hmm.
who is long since retired, but he's like, look, I don't know if this stuff is real, but I'll tell you what happened to me. And he lived a very dark life, both figuratively and literally, and he had terrible things happen throughout most of his life, and the cases that he ran across just made it worse. And he cared so much for people, but he was constantly seeing them, you know, murdered and yeah. abused and things like that. So I put a post out and said, hey, I need to add some more stories and cases in here. And so the first responders came and said, okay, don't use my name. Don't, you know, I want to remain anonymous, mm-hmm. but here's what happened to me. And some of it was very simple, you know, crazy ghost stuff. And, you know, so I had to, you know, stretch it out a little bit for the story. And then some were very, very involved, but the response I got from these guys were, it was very therapeutic to speak it, because they didn't tell each other either. there wasn't any forum for them to say, you know, hey, you know, how was your day? Oh, I saw ghosts. Yeah. Oh, me too. Let's talk about it. It didn't go down. And so I actually honor that because I felt bad. How do you go home to your family and say, oh, it was a normal day when it wasn't?
Sure.
And in the second book, I actually have a counseling group that meets to say, hey, I'm a first responder and this is what happened to me. And, you know, it's sort of like an AA for them mm-hmm. and their paranormal strife that they deal with.
How interesting.
So I was lucky to get those cases directly from the horse's mouth, so to speak. But again, everyone's like, hey, you know, thank you for letting me tell you. And then once they told me one, they're like, oh, wait a minute, something else happened. Mm-hmm. And I got another message. And I was like, okay, keep them coming.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm not saying they all happened. I'm not saying they were all supernatural. They didn't have an explanation, and there was definitely a paranormal element to them.
Yeah.
So the very first one I got, oh my gosh, I might have told this last time, but it still raises the hairs on my arm. But a young EMT had responded that a woman was not breathing in her apartment. And so when he showed up with his partner, they went to knock on the door, and the door was slightly open. And they opened it a little bit more and took one step in, and there was a woman standing to the left, and she had on a yellow robe with short brown hair. And she just pointed to the stairs to the right. And so they took it as, okay, you know, the victim must be upstairs. And so they went upstairs, and when they got there, it was the same woman in the yellow robe with the short brown hair lying dead on the ground, on the floor. And they went back to find the other woman, and they couldn't find her. And the woman lived alone. And to make it even more creepy, the call came from inside the house, and it was from a woman saying that this woman had died.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so there's a lot of cases like that where they were like, we found the woman dead, and that's what was written, was woman was unresponsive. They didn't know who called, but there wasn't any evidence of foul play.
Mm-hmm.
So there was no reason to say we need to find the individual that called, but the call came from inside the house, and neighbors swore the woman lived alone, didn't have any visitors that day that they saw, that sort of thing.
One would then go, okay, if it's a 911 call, would that voice be on tape somewhere?
You know, this was, I don't forget how many years ago. I would imagine so, but again, I'm not sure that story was conveyed and when they reported it. In other words, they reported, yes, the woman is unresponsive, but the caller was not there.
Sure.
And then they just, okay, well, there was no reason to follow up anymore. So he didn't share that with anyone that, you know, there was a woman standing there and that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm. So there's no, yeah, and likely if there was no reason to save the tape, it's probably, you know, been taped over or lost at this point in time. Wow.
Yep.
Something that we see, you know, and this goes back to the Unsolved Mysteries days, when a lot of this stuff was kind of introduced to the general public in the 80s of like, hey, this actually happens this way or that way. I remember seeing many cases where psychics, mediums would be used on actual investigations. How often does that actually happen, both officially or unofficially, within departments to help direct cases or help, you know, lead people to tangible evidence?
So I asked that question of the detective that I was, the retired detective, and he said more often than you would think, but he didn't quantify it for me, but he said that often the families of the people that were lost or missing, they almost always reached out. They did anything and everything. So your non-believers became believers overnight when they because of the desperation of finding their loved one and finding out what happened to their loved one. So, but unfortunately he said that the ones that really could help and the ones that were the real deal were very much the exception and not the rule.
That'd be understandable. And
there's a business of fake psychics for that situation.
Are you serious?
It's sad.
Oh my God. I had no idea.
Yeah. And exactly. And it's kind of funny because I'm like you. I'm like, why didn't you go further? Why didn't you take that a step further, right? Why didn't you check the tape? Why didn't you, you know, talk to these people? And it's like, you got to remember, you and me, Tony, we're like, yes, we want more. The cops are like, I don't want any more. I didn't want any more. The family doesn't want any more. We want it to be over.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And, you know, it's over and done with. And the last thing they want is some sort of supernatural element thrown in there or, you know, because even if you can say, okay, I think this happened, you still don't know. And it still remains a mystery, right? Because it's still supernatural and paranormal and true to its definition. It can't be explained by science. So they're, you know, there's not any closure in that for them.
Yeah, that makes sense. This is an interesting one. It's a question that I kind of ponder sometimes. And obviously, totally open-ended. In terms of people actually dying due to something paranormal. And that's, I don't think of it as like, oh, the big movie scene where, you know, a stake comes flying across the room and stabs somebody in the heart. More so indirect, more so, I guess, kind of passive aggressive, if you will, in terms of spirits. How often do you think that occurs, where maybe it's something that drives someone to kill themselves? Maybe it's just a gentle push down the stairs and no one was there, and it's just a, you know, it's deemed an accident. How often do you think that those sort of things occur, where the dead or spirits or whatever have an influence on actually killing the living?
You know, it's a great question, and you know, I'm an alien guy too, so we can kind of apply this to the aliens. Mm-hmm. You know, do they want to abduct us and kill us, or do they need us alive for their purposes? So you apply that question to the spirits on the other side. What do they need from us? And, you know, we talk about mischievous, you know, spirits, and then we talk about poltergeists, you know, that could actually, you know, seemingly try to harm us. Mm-hmm. So is it the fear that they feed on? And so they don't want us to die, they want us to live, but they want to keep us scared. Mm-hmm. Or do they want to push us to the edge, like you said, nudge us, put thoughts in our head, you know, suicide, and push us over the edge so that you're on the other side. And now, and I've read a lot of books where, you know, a very strong entity is literally using other entities that have crossed over as their fuel, their battery, so mm-hmm. to speak, and they're trapped. They can't leave. And, you know, you see that a lot in haunted house stories where there's one main strong, you know, entity, and then the others are sort of trapped there, and they kind of, you know, just follow his lead, or they're just there for, you know, the nourishment of the energy. So that's kind of my thought, is most of them probably need us to stick around, you know, to feed on the energy. But if they're strong enough and they can do it from the other side, then yeah. Or maybe pushing one over the edge to suicide, and then the rest of the family gives them the nourishment of that grief. You know, I don't know. It depends on what their goal is, what their end game is, what do they need.
Yeah, I mean, that's an interesting thing, because, I mean, if you watch enough Dateline, you can, you know, you can see the stories where it's, you know, very much a very twisted personality, probably a disorder of some sort, where the end game is to make the partner go mad or get basically, you know, preying on someone's depression or preying on someone's anxiety to the point of them actually harming themselves and maybe even, you know, killing themselves. And then they can collect on a life insurance policy or something of that nature. The living do that at times. Does this, I mean, I guess if you're a ghost, you're not going to collect a life insurance policy. But if you're really, if you're vengeful, if you, you know, on the other side, if you're, I really believe, I'm guessing we're still pretty much us personality wise. I mean, I believe anyone can grow, probably even the dead, and move beyond that sort of, you know, archaic way of thinking. But if some don't, I mean, I wonder how often that happens, where they just, you know, they don't care. Like, I'm just going to make this person's life miserable because my life was miserable, and misery loves company.
You know, I think it goes either way, obviously, but it's an extreme either way. In other words, you get on the other side, and not to sound trite, but you see the light, mm-hmm. literally and figuratively, but you really understand what you did and the consequences of your actions, and you see them so objectively that must absolutely just crush you.
Hope you enjoyed this 15-minute preview of one of this week's two brand new episodes of The Grave Talks. To hear the rest and get new episodes every Monday and Tuesday right in your podcast feed, search The Grave Talks wherever you download podcasts and press subscribe or visit thegravetalks.com.